I invite you to join me in reading Philippians 4, 11 through 23, and it's the concluding part of this great book of Philippians. Listen to Paul's words. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. You Philippians know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I've been paid in full, and I have more than enough. I am fully satisfied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in the glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The friends who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of the emperor's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds today. This morning I want to think about the secret power for life, but first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this man who was taking his first parachute jump, and the instructor briefed him just before he jumped out of the plane, and he said, really, there's just three things that you need to remember. He said, number one, pull the ripcord. Number two, if the chute doesn't open, pull the emergency cord, and the emergency chute will come out. And number three, when you reach the ground, look for the truck to pick you up. The man said, great, and he jumped out the plane, and he pulled the ripcord, and nothing happened. And he pulled the emergency ripcord, and again, nothing happened. He said to himself, great, with my luck, the truck won't even be there to pick me up. You know, some days are really bad, hopefully not as bad as his day. We face some challenges and adversity in life, and Paul really, in closing this book of Philippians, I think, recaps some great truths, and I think if we look at them, we can see some secrets to living a victorious life, to being strong in Christ. And the first thing is to live in gratitude. Now, last week we talked about having an attitude of gratitude, and Paul really comes back to this and continues this, and really to such an extent that it really means to sort of lead into and live in gratitude. And so Paul had said this, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then you'll recall that Paul gave sort of a litany to go through, sort of a list of things to think about, the things that we have to give thanks for. He talked about, think about the things that are true and honorable and good and excellent and praiseworthy. If there's anything like that, to think on those things. And then Paul goes on to really talk about his own life and how he's been through these ups and downs in life, but he's learned the secret to be content in whatever circumstances he's been in. You think about our own lives for a few moments, and most of us, if you've lived long enough, we've learned to live through the seasons of life. We've probably had seasons of life where we had plenty and more, and most of us have seen some circumstances in life where things seem to be pretty dry, whether spiritually or dry in terms of finances or relationships or whatever that is, and then we come back into a new season of life. And Paul says, listen, don't live your life in such a way as you're like a weather vane that responds to the circumstances. He said, instead, really have a life that's focused on Christ and learn to live in gratitude. Know that in the seasons of life, there's always something to give thanks for and to go back to that sort of thing to think about if there's something good, if there's something true, is there something noble, is there something excellent in all life? And you have to really recall for a moment that Paul wasn't saying this from a nice suburban resort somewhere or on vacation. He was in prison facing pretty difficult circumstances. Shortly after this, he'd be called to give his testimony before the Roman emperor, and he would share in such a way that he would be executed. He'd give his life for his faith. And you and I probably won't have to do that same kind of a thing, but we do face some difficulty and adversity in life. And sometimes when we think about being thankful, we think, well, that's just a season we're going to see shortly in Thanksgiving. we take a moment and we celebrate and we get around the table with family and friends. We enjoy a great dinner. But Paul's saying, listen, it's not just a day of the year. It's a life. It's a life that we have in Christ. And we can always give thanks that God has given his son for us. We can know forgiveness and new life. And so he said to live in gratitude, not just for a moment, but to live there in that state of gratitude. And the next thing is really to live in strength. And he says, again, in 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that word strength is really the word dunamai. You may have heard me say it before. That's the word that we get dynamite from, or these big dynamos that run on a dam and tremendous hydroelectric energy. And that's the same word that we get that from. And so Paul's using this term in terms of not just a little strength, but tremendous amount of strength that we have if we lean not on our own selves, but on the strength of Christ. And most of us, at some point or other, whether we're facing financial difficulties or illnesses or relationships, whatever it is, even the loss of a loved one, we're going to run out of our own strength at some point, and we need to learn to lean into the strength of Christ and to trust his strength. You think of Martin Luther for a moment, who was at his wit's end and really posted 95 theses on the door in Wittenberg and was really worried for his life, but through him, God, and through that action, God started the Reformation. And really, it's through him that we give thanks and have Bibles in all of our hands today and learn to have God's word in our own family, in our own life. John Knox was also a person who helped start the Reformation in Scotland, and he too had to pray and really trust in God's strength. And we think of John Wesley, who was a man of prayer. There's great leaders in our church, and even today, we look around, and you probably have someone in your family life today that you think of, and you think there's a person that's a model of strength that looks into Christ's strength and knows how to lean into his strength. There's a police sergeant that once came up to Billy Graham, and he said, really, you know, what is the secret to strength and living a victorious life? And Billy Graham said, really, it's one word. And the police sergeant asked, what's that? And Billy Graham said, it's surrender. Now, for you and I, you wouldn't think surrender was the key to overcoming. But I think what he meant by that is when we surrender to Christ and we surrender Christ's will, we start to lean into Christ's strength. Not on our own strength, but we surrender to Christ's strength. And when we find that, we find that that's enough. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He was talking about a trial that had come to his life that he had prayed about. And he wrote this. He said, but Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more greatly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Sometimes in all of our lives, we'll probably come to a chapter in life where we know that our strength is not enough alone to get us through. And it's in that moment that we look to Christ, we find that his strength is enough at every moment. So to learn to live in gratitude and then to learn to live in strength and then to live in trust. To live in trust and find the secret of trusting God each and every day. And Paul, after he's gone through all this, he talks about how this church has been, even though it's a small church and it's sort of a rural part of the country, this church is the one that really came to his side, offered him support no matter where he was in Corinth and Thessalonica. They were there for him. And they even sent this offering to him in prison and offered a person to help him along the way. But Paul says that he learned the secret to that. And he goes on to say, he said, and my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in the glory of Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. So he goes on to say, listen, I know you tried to supply my need, but I want you to know that you can trust God just like I can trust God. And God has met my needs through you, but I know that you have needs. And I am praying for you, and I want you to trust God and know this, that whatever you're going through, and that church was going through some persecution, and some of their people might even give their life for the faith. And so Paul's saying, listen, you can rely on Christ. He said, my God will supply all your needs through the riches of his glory in Christ. What an incredible truth today as we think about the things that you and I face, and maybe they don't seem as dramatic as that, but I'm sure there are things in our lives that we need to learn to trust God more for. And sometimes we learn to trust God a little, but maybe we could lean into trust a little bit more each and every day. We think about how God in all of life is there in our abundance and strength. And you think about people in the Bible who leaned into God's strength and trusted him. David, even though he was a shepherd boy, hadn't had any experience, was anointed as king. He was the youngest of eight children of Jesse, and it was he that was picked to be king. And you think for a moment about David as he went out to give his brothers some lunch as they were facing the Philistine army, and there was this giant named Goliath, and all of them were afraid of that, and David said, I can rely on God's strength. And so even the equipment was too big for David, but he went out and he was able to defeat Goliath because he trusted in God. He trusted in God's strength. And we think of Abraham also, who trusted God. He left his homeland and went to a place, and God really didn't give him much guidance. No GPS, no roadmap, nothing like that. Just said, I'll tell you when you get there, when you're home. Louise Haskins, the Christian writer, wrote this. She said, "And I said to the man at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely to the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way.'" You know, most of us would like a light. We'd like a roadmap in life. We'd like to know everything along the way and know that God will be there. And really what God says is, trust me as I walk hand in hand with you in life. And Paul had learned that secret of trusting God, and he challenges the church there at Philippi to trust God as well, no matter what they're facing. And the last thing is to live in grace. And this is what Paul says as he closes this great book. He said, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The friends who are with me greet you. And all the saints greet you, especially those of the emperor's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Paul closes this great letter the way that he opens the letter, with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes when you and I think about grace, to be honest, we think about salvation or redemption, that moment when we first give our lives to Christ, we know God's forgiveness, or maybe a moment we stumbled and fallen, we ask for God's forgiveness, we feel God's cleansing power, God's strength and renewal. But the truth is that grace is a way of living each and every day. And you think sometimes of a graceful dancer, a graceful ballet person, how they sort of meet all these challenges in this ballet in a beautiful way. And graceful is that way in our life too. As we learn to lean into the strength of Christ, we can face incredible obstacles and really have some kind of a fluidness to life that's just beautiful in its own way. And I think part of the beauty of that is to forgive others and to lean into that forgiveness, to return grace as even as we have received grace. You notice that Paul says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus with this kind of grace. And he goes on to say, the friends here in prison greet you. Now, in other words, my buddies from prison greet you. Now, if you think about that today, when we think about Paul, certainly he had some people that were sent to him from the church, and they were willing to bind with him in that moment of trial and tribulation. And Paul said, you know, they send their greeting. But I think maybe also that Paul was there saying that there were other people in prison that he'd witnessed to that had given their hearts and lives to Christ. And he was saying, listen, the people in prison, my friends in prison are here to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul could have felt that he was better than them, but Paul said, no, you know, this is a moment in life that I have to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And you and I, sometimes we might be in a circumstance, hopefully it's not in prison, but you know, there are moments where God's grace is there too. And Paul's saying, listen, no one is better than anyone else. They send their grace to them. And the same way he says, also, all the saints greet you, even the saints from the household of Caesar. He sort of goes from one extreme in prison to the other, Caesar's household. But Paul, because of his imprisonment, had the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with some even of Caesar's household. Now, Paul could have had the attitude either for fellow prisoners or people in Caesar's household. After all, Caesar was the one who would sentence Paul to death. Paul could have said, listen, I'm not going to help them in any way. But Paul instead said, listen, I'm going to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with these folks. And some of them had given their lives to Christ. So even adversity and difficulty, if we lean into grace and we extend that grace to others, we can find a moment where others will reach out and accept Christ's good news. And we find that we all live in grace together. You and I today, every day of our life, we sort of live in grace and lead into that. There are moments when you and I can share the good news. Maybe it's just by a smile or a nice attitude to someone else who's having a difficult day. Maybe it's just listening to someone who needs a compassionate heart of someone to listen to them. Maybe it's a word of encouragement at church, or maybe it's visiting someone who's sick in the hospital. When we live in grace and we not only receive God's grace, but we extend that grace back to others, we start to lean into that. And here, Paul, the ultimate example, as he's in prison in Rome, waiting for his execution, writes a letter of encouragement to the church at Philippi to share his strength with them. You and I have many opportunities to do the same, and we think sometimes of people who failed and yet have gotten up to live great lives of faith. And I especially think of Peter, who denied Christ not once but three times, and Christ forgave him, and he went on to really preach the first sermon that first day in Acts when the church was born. And you think of others. You think of Moses, who killed someone, and we probably wasn't in God's will to do that, but he had to flee for his life. But God used that on the backside of the desert to mold and make him, and then make him a leader to lead the Israelites from slavery to freedom, and really to do so much for us to lend his truth that we can learn from life. Today, you and I can learn to lead into grace. And so sometimes when we look at life, we think, well, that's just beyond my reach. And for that, I lean back into this parable of Jesus, of the mustard seed. And Jesus says, you know, there's that mustard seed that's smaller than any seed that you can think of, any plant. And yet when you plant it, it grows to be one of the largest plants in the garden. The birds can even rest in that. And elsewhere, Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here into the sea and it will move. And so I think it's the same, not just with sort of the church growing, but our lives of faith growing. If we take these seeds of truth and put them in our hearts and lives today and nurture them and let them grow through the soil of adversity and all this, the sunshine of God's grace, then we'll find they grow each and every day, and our lives will grow to learn to live in gratitude, to learn to live in strength, in God's strength, not our strength, to learn to live in trust each and every day, and to learn to live in grace. As we grow, our hearts and lives will grow, and we'll touch the lives of others. Einstein was at a neighborhood party one time, and he was up in years. He was a white-haired gentleman, and this little neighbor girl came up to him and said, asked him what his profession was, and he responded this way. He said, I devote myself to the study of physics. And the little girl looked at him in astonishment and said, you mean to say you study physics at your age? I finished mine a year ago. Think about that. You know, Einstein could be studying physics at his age and still working on it. Our life of faith is the same way. No matter what we've been through, no matter how we've grown, we all have a ways to go. And Jesus knew that. And so these seeds of truth can grow in our hearts and lives. If we trust God and really plant them with prayer, we'll find the power and strength in them. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we think about the challenges and adversity that sometimes seem to overwhelm us. They seem much greater than we are, and in many ways they are, if we were to face them alone. But we know that you come alongside us in life. You give us grace and strength. You teach us to trust you along the hills and valleys of life and the bright days as well as the dark nights. Help us to lean into your strength, to open our hearts and lives, to allow your spirit to nurture the seed of faith that will grow strong. And help us to share that love with others each and every day. We pray all this through your power and to your glory. Amen.